Tonight, we get to learn about the Holy Spirit. So if you've been reading in our book, we're in the third phase of the book, the third section of the book, and it starts off with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to back up. Before we get to Acts chapter 2, we're going to back up and we're going to look at John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, last week we read verses 19 to 23, and I'd like to read those again. Here's what they say. On the evening of the first week, when the disciples were all together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed with what they saw when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We start here because I want to ask, how did Jesus give the disciples the Holy Spirit? He breathed on them. I hope he brushed his teeth. That's what everybody's thinking, right? Right? Right. So he breathed on them. So do this for me. Put your hand in front of your face. Take a deep breath and blow. Tell me.
Disappointed.
What? You disappointed?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me. Give me some attributes of things that just happened. You blew on your hand. Tell me what the things that happened.
Sounds like wind.
What else?
Pressure on your hand.
You could feel it, couldn't you? Yeah? Anything else?
Warmth.
There was some warmth, or there was this temperature to it. There was something of substance to it, right? Okay, so. Yeah? So it's also the sound of God's name. God's name is Yahweh, but the way the Jews pronounce it, if you put your hand in front of your face, it's Yahweh. You always, it's that wind that you hear, right? That, it's a breath. Well, interesting that it's a breath, right? So when we turn back to Genesis chapter 2, and if you'd like to turn there, you may. I will if you don't want to. Genesis chapter 2, we read this several weeks ago. You don't have to turn there, but Genesis chapter 2 in verse 7, it says this. We're going to start in verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, no shrub or field was yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up. The Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Here's what we want to hear. And the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So this idea, what did God do? He picked up the dust, made man, and then did what? He breathed. So this word in Hebrew, I don't speak Hebrew, other people do, and the commentators and the commentaries tell me that word is the word, when he breathed, it's like the breath of life, right? When Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit onto the apostles, he gave it to those who were in the room, the 12. When he breathed, in the Greek, the word that is used there is that word that is the breath of life. Now, if we turn back one chapter in Genesis, to Genesis chapter 1, and I'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was all over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The word spirit there, also in Hebrew, is this word ruach, which has the idea of the breath. So it's actually this breath of God was hovering over the earth. The Holy Spirit is how we would describe that. So when we go into the book of Acts, so right now we have this wind that we've put on our hand. It has a sound. It has a feeling. And we've just learned that the Holy Spirit is like the very breath, the very essence of God's breath. It's not something that we can see, is it? But we know it happened. We know that I'm breathing. We know when I blow, it hits my hand. That is the picture that we have from the Bible of the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting that today we're going to read how the Holy Spirit comes. So Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through, in verse 15, we find out that there are 120 people in this room that we're about to read about this event. So there are 120 believers, disciples, in this room. And we pick up in chapter 2. We pick this up in chapter 2, and it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." Now, we have to talk about this day of Pentecost. Eli, you have a question.
No, I was confused with, I think we're starting verse 15.
We referenced verse 15. Gotcha. That there's 120 people that we're talking about here, right? Now, Jesus said in a little while, so at 40 days, Jesus was taken up into heaven, and 10 days later, it was Pentecost, and that's when we get the Holy Spirit. We kind of know the story, right? But let me ask you this question. Do you know what the day of Pentecost came? Do you know why all of these other people were in town? Good.
I was hoping. This is what I've been waiting for forever. All right. The Jews, I practiced all week to spell that properly. I can't pronounce it properly, so you're going to get what I got. But the Jews celebrate the day of Shabbat. The day of Shabbat comes 50 days after Passover. What was Passover? Everybody remember? Passover lamb in Egypt, right? Also the same day that Jesus was crucified on Passover. Pentecost is actually the Greek word for 50, a measure of 50. Shabbat is a measure of 50. Okay? Would anyone like to guess what the Jews are celebrating at the festival of Shabbat?
Is it first fruits?
Nope. Watch this. They are celebrating the receipt or the reception or the giving of the law at Mount Sinai.
That's what Shabbat is for.
That's what the festival of Shabbat is for. Isn't it interesting that God chose the very day that the Jews are celebrating receiving the law from Moses and God at Mount Sinai to what's our story about? What happened on the day of Pentecost? We haven't got to it in our story, but does anyone know the story?
Receiving of the Holy Spirit.
We receive the Holy Spirit on this same celebration, this same day. I don't know about you, but that's pretty darn exciting to me. Because God's timing is just flat amazing, right? On the day that it was already set aside for the receipt of the law by God giving that to Moses at Mount Sinai, God picks the exact same day to give us the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just watch how it happened.
Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so we got all of our history out of the way. Now we know what's going on this day of Pentecost. A Greek word that says the measure of 50, right? That's all it is.
So wait, is Pentecost a celebration before they received the Holy Spirit?
So
it became Pentecost after they received the
Holy Spirit. So in the Greek words, they were measuring their days of 50, right? And that is a Greek word.
So
it's 50 days after.
They're literally just saying, okay, so 50 days after.
Yes.
All right.
So we celebrate it as Pentecost, right? That's what the Christians call it. The believers called it. It's the day of Pentecost. We receive the Holy Spirit. But on that very same day, all of these nations that we're going to read about here in just a few verses, everyone who was in Jerusalem was there because they were required to be there to celebrate Shabbat, which was God giving the Torah, the law. So, let's read verse 2.
And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Okay. So what just happened? What's coming? Again, we know this. We've read. We're aware of the story. What's coming? This loud wind, right?
You were around a couple days ago.
Noise you hear too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Yeah, so, you know, when we all did that together, it was pretty loud. I mean, I could hear people blowing on their hands. Imagine the rush of the Holy Spirit coming in. Verse 3.
From heaven, right?
From heaven. Coming down. Has anyone ever heard a gas line blow outside? It's really loud. I mean, it's something that it draws a crowd whenever you have a gas line blow. We had one in Cloverdale.
Oh yeah.
Late last year. It was still in the fall. Somebody busted a gas line, and just the noise just filled the air. And naturally, because it's such a loud noise, people are
being drawn to it. And what do the cops have to do? Hey, get away. This is gas, idiot. Right? But all of these things. So let's read verses 3 and 4.
Then I saw what seemed like small tongues of fire hovering over each person's head. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and were able to talk in other languages as the Spirit empowered them.
Okay. So what do we have now? We have several things going on in this verse.
Fire.
We have the miraculous tongues of fire. What else do we have?
They're able to speak in languages they couldn't speak before.
Right, they're able to speak in languages. The King James uses the word tongues. That's another word for different languages. It's not that we're all standing up here going blah, 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 and you all, right? It's other people understand what's being said. Those are languages. What else? How many people in the room received the Holy Spirit?
All
of them. How is that different from the Old Testament? Right. Only a few in the Old Testament got to have that close relationship with God. And Jesus said, hey, if I'm leaving, I'm sending the Comforter. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. And here he is. Now, let's read verse 5 and 6.
And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language.
Good. So here we're talking about those languages and everyone hearing the exact same conversation only in their own tongue, right? In their own language.
So I'm speaking French. But you can understand it.
Yeah.
But you're hearing it, whatever language it is that, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
And everyone who was a believer received this.
No translator needed.
No translators.
Their mind had a Google
subtitles.
What'd you say?
I said their mind had a Google.
Mind had
exactly.
Google.
Exactly.
No subtitles. So let's read verses 9 through 13. Oh, wait a minute. 7 and 8, please. Did we already read 7 and 8?
No.
No. Okay, 7 and 8.
Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?
Mm-hmm.
Then how is it each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of
Mesopotamia,
Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia.
Phrygia.
10 also.
Yep, please.
Phrygia and
Pamphylia,
Egypt, and the parts of Libya near
Cyrene.
Visitors from Rome.
Very good. So who's all hearing this?
The Jews that gather.
All the Jews that were there, right? From all these different parts of the world. I didn't bring the map tonight, but in your mind, you've seen the map several times. You have little Jerusalem. You have up here is Rome. Over here is Libya, over here is Egypt, and all the way down is Ethiopia, all the way through Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Greece, Hungary, all of these areas that's where all of these people were from, and they're hearing this conversation in their own tongue. So let's read through verse 13 where we left off. Let's read 11 through 13, please.
Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said they were full of new wine.
Okay. So Peter's going to, the argument is, hey, they're all drunk. Don't worry about it. Don't pay attention to that. I don't know what's happening, but clearly those Galileans have been hitting the sauce all morning, right? So let's read what Peter says. Let's start in verse 14, and we'll read down through to 14 and 15, and then I'll have the next person read 16 through 21 so we can kind of get this whole picture.
But Peter, standing with you, and lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day.
Okay, last week we talked about these hours. Does anybody remember what is the third hour of the day?
9 a.m.
Yeah, 6 is the start, 9 a.m. So 9 a.m., they're not drunk. They just got out of bed. Come on. All right?
Some people want to blink an eye at that.
Do what?
So some people want to blink an eye at that.
Right. What? All right, so 16 through 21, please.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and when I shall and I will shew wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord came. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Very good. So Peter is explaining to them something that was written in the book of Joel. Hey, the Holy Spirit's coming. And wouldn't you imagine that since the 11 had already received the Holy Spirit by Jesus breathing on them, they received the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, this is amazing to me, the breath of God was hovering over the earth, the Spirit of God, right? That word Spirit means the breath of God. Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, the very breath, the life of God. At this moment, God has breathed on the earth for anyone who believes would receive the Holy Spirit. And while we received the law during the celebration of Shabbat, now it's Pentecost. Same day, only the Greek word, Pentecost, that measure of 50, we're starting the church. We've not only received the Holy Spirit, but we just started the church. Because that's what we believe, that when we are saved, we don't have to be waiting for this wind to come on us. Because if you are a believer in the room tonight, the Holy Spirit is here. And if Cody accepts Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to Cody because he's allowed him to come in. The idea that God is in the room, we kind of talked about that, right? God is in the room. He's in the room inside of us because he dwells here. And that's what Peter goes on in this whole conversation about what happened on this day. And I would encourage, if you would like to continue with Peter's presentation of the Holy Spirit and his message that he gives to all of them, because at the end of this chapter, we find out that 3,000 people said, "Forgive me." And the Holy Spirit began the work of the church, building the body of the church, indwelling another person, indwelling another person, indwelling another person. 3,000 people from all over the world, known world at the time. And then when they went back after celebrating Shabbat, instead of celebrating just receiving the Torah, now they have a reason to celebrate receiving the very breath of God inside of them. What an amazing turn of events that they weren't expecting. 3,000 people get saved.
One thing I noticed, can I say something?
Yeah.
That he says in 17 through, the 17th and 20 here, when he's referring back, he says, "I will pour forth my spirit." He says, "I will in those days pour forth, or I will pour forth my spirit to all mankind. I will grant wonders in the skies above." And then he goes on. And now he says it twice. Mm-hmm. "I will, I will, I will."
And when God says, "I will," what's going to happen? It will happen. So I don't want to stop this presentation. I don't want to stop in the middle of Peter's message, but we're going to. Because one of the things we need to understand is, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit when he's here? So let's turn to John chapter 16. Jesus was having a conversation with the disciples, and he was actually telling them all about this.
16?
Yes, John chapter 16. And let's read verses 5 through 11, and then we'll finish after that. 5 through 11.
"But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged."
Okay. So, what is the purpose of, first of all, what is the... if Jesus goes away, who is he sending? The Holy Spirit. What does he call him here?
The helper.
The helper, counselor. What did you say?
Comforter.
Comforter. Yes. The comforter, the counselor, the helper. And what is the Holy Spirit's job? Convict. What did you say, Eli?
I said guide.
Guide. Good.
It says convict the world of sin.
Convict the world of sin.
And righteousness.
And judgment. And with regard to sin, what is the sin?
They don't believe.
Not believing in Jesus. And what about righteousness?
Right standing with God.
Righteousness is the right standing before God. So how is it that he says, with regard to righteousness, what is the reason that he's sending the counselor now?
Because he's going to the Father.
Because he's going to the Father. And what's his job up there?
prayer voice.
Right? What's it say in this verse specifically? I'm going to the Father.
You'll see me no longer.
Right. I'm going to the Father and you'll see me no longer. What's God's job? What's Jesus' job in heaven? What is? We looked at Hebrews last week. We talked about...
To intercede.
Intercede. That's right. So Jesus is going to... He's saying, look, right now I'm talking with you. I am the righteous one, right? I am... God sees you through me as a believer. But if I'm here, I can't be up there doing that. So I'm going to send someone else so that I can be up there talking to the Father as he gets angry with Tim Underwood because he sinned today. And God looks at that and says, or Jesus looks at that and says, hey, Dad, no, he's a believer. He has asked forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is living in him. I know it's dark, but see him through me. I died for him. And that's how God looks at us, and with through righteousness. Like Jesus is the glasses for God to see me. He's the mediator. He's the one who's intercessing. He's the one saying, whoa, we don't need to do that. That's God's, that's Jesus' job to the Father. And the Holy Spirit is down here convicting me because I shouldn't have been doing whatever it was that I didn't do or did do, right? And the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict me of my sins so that I can ask forgiveness so that Jesus doesn't, so Jesus can shine through me rather than be dark and dim through me.
My note contrasts that judgment that we were just talking about, in that the world can't make righteous judgments. Because right now, the world is Satan's domain. So for Christ to do that for us is
important.
Righteous judgment.
Yeah, righteous judgment.
It's very, yeah, that mediator. role of Christ is extremely important.
And so then when it says in verse 11 with regard to judgment, what is that?
Satan will be judged.
Right. Who's the prince of this world?
Satan.
Satan will be judged. So let's read verses 12 through 16, please.
I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come.
Very good. Crystal, would you finish the rest of it, please? 14 through 16.
He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father.
Okay. So what else is the job of the Holy Spirit? We saw that verses 12 through 14. Eli said it earlier, to guide. Who is speaking when the Holy Spirit speaks to us?
God.
Right. The Holy Spirit is only saying what he is told to say in our life.
This is the Spirit of truth. God is truth.
God is truth. And what does the Holy Spirit give to us?
Love, joy, and peace?
Yep. Anything from Jesus. The Father has given everything to Jesus, and Jesus does what with it? Gives it to us as we need. So the Holy Spirit is not only the breath of God, the Holy Spirit is not only a guider, a counselor, the one who convicts us of our own sin. He's not only the conversation piece for Jesus to talk to us, he's also the mailbox. Jesus says, I think you need this. Holy Spirit says, got it. We'll take care of that.
Deposit guaranteed.
Deposit guaranteed. Right? Delivery made. Take a picture. Send it back. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And while it's a concept that next week we're going to talk about faith, it requires us to have faith to believe in the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? It does. Because it's really just kind of out there. It's weird. It's hard for our mind to grasp and wrap ourselves around that it's not just, the Holy Spirit is not just a powerful being. It's not just an it or an entity. He is, Jesus calls him, he is the very breath of God, the one who gives us life, who breathed into our nostrils. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is like breath. We can't see it, but we can feel it. We know it's here. And in my life, when there is joy, when I'm doing something for God, and Jesus, they see that, the Holy Spirit is joyful. When you do that, your spirit is overjoyed. You have this joy that just, or maybe you have a peace that passes all understanding. You're going through a difficult, tragic moment in time, and yet you just have a calmness about you if you're a believer. And why is that? It's the Holy Spirit. God gives to us everything that we need through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we may need a measure of patience. Sometimes we need a measure of peace. Sometimes we just need a measure of comfort to lean on. Sometimes we have joy. Sometimes we have a spirit of helping. Sometimes we have a season of just great opportunities, and the Lord allows us the opportunity to work through those. The Holy Spirit is so much more than just the rushing wind and a flaming tongue, a dancing tongue on top of someone's head, although that was great. And he shared the gospel to 3,000 people, and those 3,000 people distributed throughout the world. And as they spoke, and as other people believed and had faith in what they were doing, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit is throughout the entire world, everywhere. You go out today, you'll run into someone. If you catch the right conversation and you ask the right questions, you'll find there's the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. Do they see it in you? Do they see it in me? That's our lesson tonight.
I heard it said from a Sunday that it's the Greek word is parakletos, and how they described it is like a paraclete like helping you.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a way to remember paracletes. I thought it was kind of funny.
That's good. Paraclete. Paracletes. On your feet. Let's go.
The gospel of peace, right?
That's right. And it is only through the Holy Spirit that we can go out and tell others about this wonderful story that if we sit back for just a moment, to normal people, it doesn't really make sense. But it is only because of the Holy Spirit that it does. And it's great that the Holy Spirit is the one who does all the work. All we have to do is introduce them.
So this also goes to Galatians, one of my favorite, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That all of those things in our life are a direct reflection of the Holy Spirit in us. And when we talk about people seeing Christ in us, I always think of that. Do they see the Spirit in me through all of the love, joy, peace, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. So it really, he gave it all to us. It's there. We don't have to work for any of those things, is what I'm saying. So even though we feel like we have to, you know, I have to exercise patience, it really isn't. It has nothing to do with our own ability. All of those things are done through Christ.
Carry out in 16. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a promise. Yep. Well, next week we're going to talk about faith. And really it's hard to talk about this particular section of the book. I was telling Lester earlier, independently, without faith, you have the Holy Spirit, and then we have faith, and then we have, in there we have the church, and we have heaven. But, I'm sorry, I skipped one. It's the Holy Spirit, faith, and forgiveness, the church in heaven. That's what's in this next section. And it's hard to talk about each one individually, right? Because they all hand in hand go together and they all work together. Any other conversation, thoughts, corrections, reiterations? Then let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you very much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. What a blessing it is to be seen through the eyes of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you that you're willing to see us through your Son, and we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that he directs us, guides us, comforts us, but convicts us of our sin. Forgive us when we fail. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.